Good.
Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, October 16th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hands, we'll continue our study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. All right, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious, heavenly, merciful Father, again we ask for thy blessings as we look into thy word, the mind of Christ. Father, we confess that we are sinners, for thy word declares that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, bless us as we continue on our study of thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and we've taken a detour, and we're looking at Satan and the many names of Satan. And we saw that, there are, I don't remember how many number. I guess I didn't count them. It's probably about 20 or maybe more false gods that are identified in the Bible. And, of course, gods with a little g, G-O-D-S. Particularly Baal is often found in the Bible. It's spelled and pronounced in different ways, but it's quite a few places in the Bible. And it's referred to often. Baal is the false god that many of the Israelites worshipped, and was again likened unto the true God, the God of the Bible. All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to pick up here: false prophets and unclean spirits. But an important thing to realize is that God refers to Satan as a god, little g. He's a created being, and we're going to look a little bit at that and get some more detailed specifics on that. But we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angel that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day in their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, despised governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sins, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone away following the way of Balaam. And of course, that is a prophet of Mesopotamia. And again, they worship Balaam. The son of Bozar, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after, and this is a key verse because we're going to be looking a little bit into this thought line here. For if after that they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than from the beginning. For it had been better for them if they not had known the way of righteousness, than after that they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But this happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Again, this is we're going to be looking particularly in, for after they have escaped the pollution, they've come under the hearing of God's word. And this, of course, is true in the Old Testament as much as it is in the New Testament. After they have escaped the pollution of the world to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, Old Testament was looking forward to Christ, and we look back because he has come. They are again entangled therein and are overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now, we read in a couple places, it's almost word for word. It's just a couple of different words that have changed within Matthew and Luke. So we're going to read both of them now, referring back to the individual who was cast out spirits. That's a little later. This is focusing in on when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man. So this is the idea. An individual comes in, is sanctified by coming under the hearing of the word of God. He comes to the knowledge of truth and righteousness and then departs from it. And that's what's in reference here in Matthew 12 and in Luke 11, where we read, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Luke 11, pretty much the same account, verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I come out. Of course, that is the body of the individual. Satan dwells, and his demons dwell in the hearts of unsaved men. And when he cometh, he findeth it is swept and garnished, all cleaned up, and again, a whole new focus. And of course, Satan's going to take advantage of this because he's going to bring another god, Baal. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Okay, let's look here at Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So, of course, that was the spirit, the unclean spirit, speaking to Christ, recognizing who he is, that he is the Son of God. For he saith unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. So, again, you know, these spirits, and of course, there's only really two spirits, ultimately. There's the spirit of God, Christ, and the spirit of Antichrist. But again, there are many demons, and we're going to see that Satan is a created being. But here again is this idea of this unclean spirit, and there are many. Legion is what it's referred to. Now we go into Jeremiah chapter 14, and we read in verse 11. Then said Jehovah unto me, Pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then Jehovah said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you false visions and divination, and a thing of naught, and deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith Jehovah concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I send them not. Yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. So again, we are focusing in on this false prophets, and we're going to be looking at the prince and power of the air, Satan being referred to as a prince. We're going to see that in a few minutes. And of course, as being a prince, he is a god. He's the god of this world, with a little g, of course. And we're also going to discover that he is a created being. Let me finish this off. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, because of the famine and of the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them." Okay, so again, we know this is identifying with the great apostasia, where the prophets will be consumed at the end of that, of course, and they're cast out into the streets of Jerusalem. And there is a famine and sword and none to bury them. To bury, of course, we have identified that is to be buried with Christ in his baptism. So they will have no burial. You know, they're seeking peace and they're seeking salvation, and they shall not find it. But one of the key things I really want to focus in on is this thing called divination. And let me reread what we have here highlighted in yellow, because this kind of picks up the beginning of what we're going to look into, is the divination. And divination identifies with, you know, really crossing over the fire. I believe that's how it's phrased. We're going to see that shortly. But it's crossing over the fire, which is identifying crossing over to another world. You know, from looking into the study that we've been looking at for quite a few weeks now, and especially my most recent studies coming up with this divination, I never really saw or looked at this word before and found it quite interesting. And but we have here about 48 pages of our study. We're on page 37. I think we might come very close to finishing this tonight, but if not, next week. But this divination is the picture of what I'm trying to work out, and I think I see a picture that, again, that I've not seen before. As I've been looking at this, I'm starting to see that there are people that prophesy and claiming it to be God, claiming it to come from God, and yet it comes from Satan. We looked at a study earlier where we saw Samuel come over across to Saul, and he saw it as Samuel, but it couldn't possibly be Samuel. They went to a person that is able to practice this divination, and of course it was Satan or one of his demons that he was actually communicating with. Because we know, for instance, in the Old Testament, to be absent from the body is the place to go to a place of silence and awaiting for the resurrection. In the New Testament, of course, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in our soul existence. So, you know, again, and the Bible speaks about them being sleeping until that time period when the resurrection comes, and when Christ, of course, came and he rose from the grave. Many saints rose also and was seen of many. That was the resurrection that took place, of course, in the beginning of the gospel era. But again, let's take a look at this. The key thing here also is what's going on in the heart. Then said I, this is Jeremiah 14, verse 13. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine." You know, this brings us back into the garden when Satan said to Eve, you know, the day that you eat off of this, your eyes will be open. You'll be as gods. And indeed, God refers to us as gods. Little g, G-O-D-S. He refers to Satan as God and the demons as gods, plural. But little g. Just kind of what I'm picking up here, and I think we'll see this pretty clear as we go through this, especially as we go through divination, is that, and I've been, you know, trying to work this out for quite some time, and I think I have the picture here. Whereas, you know, the fall of Satan took place in the garden. Satan was a created being, and he was in the garden, you know. He was not necessarily in heaven where God was, but he was where God was, in a heavenly place, because where God is, there is a heavenly place, and that was in the Garden of Eden. And so Satan, of course, when he fell, we have that recorded. And that, of course, again, is when he tempted Eve, and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me finish reading this. I don't think I did. So Jehovah said unto me, the prophets prophesy a lie in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and the things naught, and deceit of the heart. Therefore thus saith Jehovah concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I send them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. And this, I think, is very timely, because I see a lot of people in various places. You know, you go on YouTube and watch different things, or Rumble, and you get some good information, and there's also some bad information. And I have discovered over the past few years that people have been claiming to be prophesying. They're claiming that God is speaking to them. You know, we all prophesy when we claim the word of God. You know, to prophesy is to declare God's word. That's what to prophesy is to mean. But to add on to his prophecy by making a claim outside of the Bible, outside of the harmony of God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept, outside of where we can clearly see the focus of something that's going on in this world. For instance, we know that God speaks of Israel becoming a nation again. Okay, and that's something we see that does happen. It has happened outside of the Bible, outside, but God is focused in on that. Various other things. But generally speaking, a lot of these people, they'll make some claims and they'll say these things that are going to happen. And they really, truly believe this. And some of it seems pretty accurate sometimes. And I've come to realize by working through this study that's what this divination is all about. Satan is behind that whole thing working. And I've always kind of set that aside, not thinking that he was so active, but, you know, as far as being able to communicate, to cross over to the other side and have a communications. And a lot of it, of course, is chicanery. But I've come to realize recently that a lot of it is real, especially in these last days. This is a time of the great apostasia. This is the time when Satan has been loose. This is the time when he's at his most power in this world. In the Old Testament, he had a lot more power than he has in the New Testament because he's been restrained. Okay, but now he has been loose. But I do believe that even throughout the entire New Testament, this divination situation, which is also referring to as witchcraft, and there's a few other words we'll see as we go through this. But there's also the divine sentence. And the divine sentence is actually God's word, God actually giving us a message, through an individual. The holy prophets spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But of course we know that there's nothing new coming out to add to the Bible anymore, because we have the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, last chapter, last couple of verses. It says we're not to add or take away of the things of this book. And that also is why we also know that tongues has also ceased. And the Bible says that tongues will cease, and it has ceased. The purpose of tongues was only for the purpose of edifying, feeding the church, feeding the body of Christ until the Bible was complete. And once the Bible was complete, eventually tongues ceased. Now, it may have gone in certain areas. I don't know. I think that would, once you have the Bible, that's it. Again, you can't add onto God's word. And you can't, of course, take away. And by adding onto God's word, you'll do one or the other or both. Okay, so let's look at this picture idea of divination. We read in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 6. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Haba by the river of Gozan and the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Jehovah their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of heathens, whom Jehovah cast out from before the children of Israel, before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord, against Jehovah their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And again, this is an apostasy. This is a falling away. This is going after another god, believing and thinking it's the one true God, of course, and it's not. And they burnt their incense in all the high places, as did the heathens whom Jehovah carried away before them, and brought and wrought wicked things to provoke Jehovah to anger. For they served idols whereof Jehovah had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet Jehovah testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your father, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in Jehovah their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were around about them, concerning whom Jehovah had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of Jehovah their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. Now again, you know, this is a picture here we're seeing, and it's happening today, where people are thinking they're worshiping Christ, that they're worshiping the true God, and yet they are not. They're following after false prophets and false teachers, the great apostasia. Same thing happened when Christ came to die for us, to bring the gospel, the word of God. The Pharisees thought that they were worshiping the one true God, yet they were actually worshiping Baal also. As the Lord said concerning them, your father, the devil. He said, that's what their father is. It is the devil. So again, let's go back. And they left all the commandments of Jehovah, their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Now that phrase, I struggled a little bit and was looking through the original, in this case, the original Hebrew, and it's to pass to the other side. It's to make a connection with unclean spirits, to dealing with Satan. And again, you know, I'm absolutely convinced at this point that all of these people, you know, some of it is chicanery, some of it is maybe just mental illness, maybe, you know, saying these things, making it up, or whatever the case may be, because the Bible does talk about that also. But there is a real connection that people have, and they do get real messages. And I think we're seeing a lot. I know I'm seeing a lot of it on the internet. You know, you wouldn't necessarily come upon it too often, you know, in the reality world that we live in. But when you go into that fantasy world, the internet, well, we can get a lot of great information, but that's where, you know, there's so much information, so many things going on. We see a lot more than we would have seen if we didn't have the internet. So the pass to the other side is what is being referred to as passing through the fire, to communicate with unclean spirits. Now, again, there is that situation where you're actually communicating with God and God is speaking with you, but that time has stopped. He's ended it. Because his complete word has been full. So he does speak to us through his Bible. God speaks to me all the time, every day, whenever I go into my Bible. He speaks to me because he shows me new things. He shows me different things as I compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So anyway, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. And these enchantments are identifying with spells. That's what these enchantments, again, are all about. You know, we have witchcraft, which gets a lot into that. And again, there's a lot of chicanery there. But also, I now perceive that there's some real things going on, real connections. You know, I remember when I was very young, one of my friends had a little knowledge from somewhere and was talking about, let's raise the devil, and drawing, the circle and the sign. And we never really went anywhere with that, of course, and I was kind of not really drawn towards that. But in any event, that idea, there are people, I think, that do actually do that now. Again, this is something recent that I've come to a conclusion. Before, I've just been perplexed, not sure. But now I'm pretty convinced that there is a connection only with the other side. There is spirits, there is ghosts, but it's always all Satan. It has nothing to do with an individual, maybe, where there's a ghost that people claim that resides in a particular place and that it's a particular individual that died there or something violent happened or whatever the case may be. Satan is just using that opportunity, just like he used that opportunity to make believe that he was Samuel to Saul when he went to a person for this to the nation to make that connection, because God wasn't speaking to him. You know, I think we read that whole story. God was not speaking with him, and so he wanted to know what was going on, and God was silent. And he asked and he was silent. He couldn't get the information. He was going to war, so he went, of course, and found this woman, and convinced her, who was operating in this kind of a situation with divination, and he's communicating with Samuel, but it wasn't Samuel. Or they're communicating, other people doing this, communicating with God. But it is not God. It's Baal. Because God is not speaking to people that way. And there's a lot of that going on. A lot more than I realized. And some of that, to some degree, even, not that I get any details from people on this. Sometimes people say, oh, God speaks to me. Or I hear people say all the time, God speaks to me. And I listen very carefully when they're talking. And they really mean that God is speaking to them. You know, I say God speaks to me too, but I mean God speaks to me through his word. That's how he speaks to us. But in any event, going back to this idea here, one of the other things that I've come to a recent appreciation and been puzzling with to really get a better understanding, for instance, when we did a Revelation study, we looked into where... John was told to eat, and he ate something, and he put it in his mouth, and it tasted sweet as honey, but in his belly, okay, you know, it was, I forget the word that was used, but it was unsettling, to paraphrase it. It was bitter. That's the word God used, bitter, okay? And so there was a rejection in the belly. Sweet in the mouth, but a rejection in the belly. Sweet in the mouth from this idea of eating the Word of God, and in the belly, the word belly in that particular case and in many other places in the Bible is the word matrix. And the word matrix identifies with the womb. It's the womb of a woman, the birthing place. And we spoke about that in our study of Revelation. And I've come to realize now, looking through this study, that the whole battle... here that's taking place, Armageddon, everything, the fall, everything started right here in this world. God created this world for that purpose, for that battle to take place. And all of us, he refers to all men as gods. We're going to see that in a little while. And so this in an idea, you know, in order to become a son of God, you must first become, a son of man. That's a prerequisite. You have to be born into this world to become a son of man in order to be born again and become a son of God. So we're either son of Satan, the children of Satan, or we're the children of God. Okay, and that picture has really solidified for me in this study, and particularly in the verses we're looking at now, and we're going to continue to look at a little more and see that bigger picture as we're going. So that's kind of a conclusion I've come up with just recently. And again, some mysteries that I've been wondering about for a while, and this new word, looking at divination and understanding that there is a relationship between Satan and mankind in a literal sense in certain people. You know, we look to the people that really rule this world, you know, Leviathan, where Satan is at his most active, where they actually worship Satan. They're very clear. They understand exactly who they're worshiping. They hate God. They hate Christians. And they worship Satan. And they do blood sacrifices. They worship children. We're going to find a lot about that as these next months go by. All these horrible, horrific things that have been taking place. They drink the blood of young children. You know, they go through a certain process of bringing great fear upon them, and then they kill them, and at that point there's something that's supposed to be in the blood that gives them something, whatever it is. And again, they're bloodthirsty, evil individuals worshiping, they're Satan worshippers, that's who they are. Very dangerous and evil people, and I do believe that they are actually communicating with Satan. You know, they have all these big rituals from time to time, hidden, but exposed by certain people. I know Alex Jones has exposed certain things of that nature in a place, I forget the name of it, but that's not important, where people used to come, I guess they still do, once a year. Politicians, people in Hollywood, people, rich people, and a lot of people will come there once a year for the purpose of going through these crazy rituals. But on the high end of that thing, I do believe that there is, I've often wondered whether there was or not, but now I do believe that that is the case. They are communicating with Satan. And again,
Bohemian Grove.
Okay, Bohemian Grove. Thanks, Eric. And there's also another place where I forget what they call it, where they're trying to break, you know, crash the atoms together or the electrons together. And outside that area, they have, matter of fact, let me roll back because I think I remember the name of the god.
Geneva, the Hadron Collider.
Say it again, I didn't hear it.
In Geneva with the Hadron Collider.
Yes. What was the name of the god? Because I know that we listed it, and I think that god's name is here.
I can't remember at the moment, but it's one of the ones that are listed with the various names, Baal or, I can't remember.
That was definitely the big picture of Satan, but again, all of it ends up to be Satan, or demons, I guess, you know, too.
Yeah, right there. It's got to be one of those in that list that you've got there.
This is a pretty you know, exhausted list of every god in the Bible. You know, small g, of course. So, but in any event, it's not necessary for us to really know the name and understand too much about it, but to be aware of it, to realize it. Because, you know, I know there are certain people that have made certain claims that God has spoke to them. There's this one pastor or preacher or teacher or whatever he was. And he passed away, but he made a lot of statements that things are going to happen. And he claims to be getting these messages, and these things have come to pass. But we know that it's not coming from God because it's not in harmony with what God has to say within his word. You know, everything God reveals to us is within his word. He reveals from there. Okay, so let's get back here. We're just finishing up on this. Oh, let me say, there was one other thing I wanted to make a point of. I don't remember, but I'm sure it'll come up. Some verses will hit my memory to respond to it, whatever it was I wanted to make the point. But some of the points I definitely did want to make. We're also going to see that Satan is referred to as a man. We've looked a little bit at that in our Bible study of Revelation, and we have already looked a little bit of that in some verses here in this study. We're going to look a little deeper in this, that in a lot of places where God refers to Satan as a man, is this the man that deceived the nations, you know, the man of sin being revealed. So there is a direct connection. Satan given the job of overseeing. He was a cherub, okay, which makes him a spiritual being, some type of an angel, a cherub, which we're going to look a little more at that too. But he's a spiritual being, and he's a created being, but his job was to oversee. You know, he was a covering cherub of this world for good, to do the work of God, and yet iniquity was found in him, as we're going to see as we go on. All right, so let's continue. Ezekiel 13, verse 1. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy, and say unto them that prophecy out of their own heart. Now, there is the key. They prophesy, or they make a prophecy out of their own heart. And that's where the word comes from, you know. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in you is the word of God, and the word of God is Christ. And to be for the Holy Spirit, Christ, to be within us, it would be the place, the heavenly place. It's where we're seated with him in heavenly places, where we are ruling and reigning over our flesh, over our bodies, crucifying the flesh, and so on. But here we read that prophesy out of their own hearts. So God, of course, you know, we prophesy out of our own hearts. And what is hidden in our hearts is God's word. So again, it brings us back to the Bible. We're getting the word of God as he moves in us and reveals to us things to bring forward. And it's coming through the heart. And the heart is directly connected to the mind, the soul. You know, all these three, the heart, mind, and soul, seem to be connected. And the mind gives us that idea of knowledge, and the heart, again, is where our desire is, and the soul is where we are eternal with God in our soul existence. Let me just step back. And they say unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, hear ye the word of Jehovah. Thus said the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Jehovah. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Again, a message that claims to be coming from the other side, from God, when again it's Baal, it's Satan. Whereas ye say, Jehovah saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar, which will not stick and will not stay. It's faulty. It'll crumble and fall apart. It's untempted. But peace, you know. And of course, the peace that God speaks about is the peace between, you know, him and man. You know, they say peace. You know, by bringing a gospel, we're bringing peace between God and the individual we're bringing the gospel to. And they claim peace. And God says, and there was no peace. It's a lie. They built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which dabbed it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall. And a stormy wind shall rent it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dabbling, wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rent it, with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempted mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. Thus I will accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempted mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the woman that sew pillars to the armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hurt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for a piece of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save souls alive that should not live? And of course, this is all identifying with the great apostasia. As much as I believe it identifies to some degree, of course, which is a reflection of the end, which was the condition of the church when Christ came in the person of Jesus Christ, and they rejected him, came unto his own, and his own received him not. And to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to the people that hear your lies. So there are many people who are hearing the lies, and I've puzzled about this a lot, also wondering, you know, to what degree is going on in the churches with all the false gospels, and you know, bringing in another Jesus, another gospel, and preaching heresies. And so here I think it's pretty clear God is giving us the picture that there are saved people that are still under the hearing of some of this stuff. And maybe they're struggling, maybe there's a vexation, maybe they're confused, or maybe they're just very young, or very ignorant, or very new, and don't know, and trying to figure it out. Again, I remember in the beginning knowing absolutely nothing about God's Word, just beginning to look into it, not even weeks, and I went to listen to some preacher that people were saying, oh, it's a visiting guy, he knows all of this stuff about Revelation, the end of the world, or in the end times, and you know, so on and so on. And I remember going there and being the only one in the church with an open Bible to begin with, and trying to follow along, and he's just putting things that are not even in there, and yet saying things that irritated me. I didn't have knowledge, no knowledge at all. I was completely, you know, just a babe in Christ. Yet God, I think, gives us that that rejection. That feeling uneasy, that vexation, something is wrong, it doesn't sound like the voice of my Father, you know? But anyway, by your, let me just go reread that part. Let me see where we'll step back. Let's go to 18, verse 18. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the woman that sew pillows to the armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statute to hunt souls, you know? Satan going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, hunting souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? Will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? Will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die? I think that's the picture of saved people. And to save the souls alive that should not live, the unsaved, claiming ye have given them life. By your lying to the people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah, because with lies ye have made the hearts of righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations. Now there again is the divine divination. That's coming from God. You're not going to hear the prophecy no more. You're not going to know God's word. He's not going to open it up to you. And of course, before the Bible was completed, he's not going to deliver that message to individuals, which he does usually through prophets who do have that connection and have that divine divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah. Okay, 28. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Amorites and concerning their reproach. And even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter. It is furbished to consume because of the glittering, while they see vanity unto thee. While they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of wicked whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. Okay, let's take a look in Acts. Now here we're moving into the New Testament with some pictures of divination. We read, and that's how I've come to realize that this stuff continues now in the New Testament era. Of course, Satan is restrained, but now that he's been loosed, the great tribulation has come, and that great falling away has happened, and Satan continues to, of course, be loosed, and we're seeing more and more of it. And yet also, you know, information flows throughout the world quickly. You know, something happened right now, and 2 minutes later, everybody could know about it, because that's how communicational we are as a people, through the Internet. Technology. So Acts 16, verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, someone who claims to make that connection, who claims to cross over to the fire, crosses over the fire, to speak to what they believe is the Holy Spirit, is God, but they're really speaking to the unclean spirit, which is of Satan. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Okay, so right there's a picture of a demon, Satan, one of his demons, inside this woman, and she's able to cross over and get this information, and much gainsaying was given, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, telling what's going to happen. So right there we see, again, this has gone right over into the New Testament era. Satan is communicating directly with people inside of them, you know. And I'll tell you what, just about every day, almost every day, I come across something somewhere where someone is claiming to talk to God. Some days, many times throughout the day, I see things, people talking and claiming, you know, God spoke to me. He gave me this message. And we need to be very careful and realize it didn't come from God. But again, it's how they really say it. Again, God gives me messages all the time, but through his word, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how he speaks to me. When I go to churches, or when I used to go to churches, and I've gone to a church which I'm ready to leave because I see there are problems and I just feel I got to get out of there. Nevertheless, during the time period going in, they still did read the gospel. They did read out of it, particularly the King James. They may have distorted the message, but the reading was there, and the blessings for me was there, even though I was in a church that had gone apostate already, that was preaching a lie, damnable heresies, a false gospel, yet using God's word, just like Satan does, to twist the scriptures. And a lot of churches have been sold on the idea of, well, the Bible's too difficult for people to do. Let us reinterpret it. Let us water it down. You know, if God wanted the Bible to be easily understood, then that's what he would have done. But he didn't want it to be easy. He hid things in the world. We have to go dig around into the earth looking for it, as precious stones, gold and silver, and pearls of great price, and so on. Okay, Ezekiel 22, verse 23. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rain upon the day of indignation. The day of indignation is identifying with the day of judgment. No rain upon of in that day, which means, of course, the word of God, which is identified as water, rain, the early rain, the latter rain, that which brings the growth up out of the earth. So there is a conspiracy of a prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You know, as I read this, and I think of the subtle differences inside these churches that, you know, show up here, listen, they're very subtle things, and you start to see the cracks in their foundation. But I also think of these churches that, you know, these, especially TV preachers, I can't believe how many people follow after that, and they just are that far deceived that they don't see it, you know, where really crazy things are brought up. But generally, it's very subtle, you know. You have to dig around to see it's subtle. And again, I think God protects his children with vexation. We get vexated by something going on. Okay, but princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. And remember, princes are gods. Remember that. So Satan is prince and power of the air, place of conversation of this world. We're not to be friends of this world, to be the words of this world. We should be getting into the words of God, to be in the kingdom of God. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempted mortar, seeing vanity divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger. And remember, we looked at the stranger in the beginning of our study, which again is not of Jacob. And of course, Israel is Jacob changed and born again. But strangers who are happy to dwell, they see something. They try to live morally. They, But they go out into the world, and they're not part of a body of Christ. But I do believe some strangers, of course, become Jacob's and eventually Israel, who is the Son of God. We are all Israel. They have oppressed a stranger wrongfully, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation, my judgment upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Okay, we just about come to the end of our hour. So we're going to pick up next week. This is very interesting. Again, I'm picking up a lot of new things in this particular looking in at Satan that I've often, you know, kind of perplexed with, trying to figure it out. And but we're going to be looking at Satan is a created cherub. He's a covering cherub. He was here to protect. He was to do like what Christ came to do. Okay, you know, he was to do that, to cover, to protect. And he's a spirit, and he's also called a man, for he is the spirit of man. He's a prince, which is a god. He's the prince of the power of the air, the place of conversation in this world. The man of sin, the beast, is the body of Satan, or the son of man. It's one or the other, okay? But again, you know, they're sons of men too. I think that's what I really would be meaning. Of course, Christ himself called himself the Son of Man, and of course he was. We're all sons of men. We're born of mankind. And here, the man of sin, the beast, the body of Satan, and that's where he identifies with man. Is this the man? Okay, anyway, we're going to look at all those things in our next week's study. With that, we'll end it for the night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.